Ever feel like you're parenting all over again, even though your kids are like, grown up?
Oh, tell me about it.
Well, that's kind of what we're diving into today, right? It's this challenge that can feel exactly like that adult sibling rivalry.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing when they're little and fighting over toys, but like, what happens when those disagreements just keep going, you know, into adulthood?
Right. It can be tough.
That's what we'll be unpacking today using this great article, How to Handle Conflict with Your Adult Children.
Okay.
Our mission, should we choose to accept it, is to give you some practical tips to navigate this whole tricky territory.
I am in.
Perfect. Whether you're a parent yourself, or maybe you're a sibling, or even if you're just fascinated by family dynamics, this is for you.
You know, what's interesting is what's often overlooked is how much those early relationships in a family, they kind of stick with us.
Oh, for sure.
You know, even as adults.
Absolutely.
So much of who we are is shaped by those early dynamics.
Yeah, the article starts off strong, suggesting that, like, a good first step is to just focus on building individual relationships with each of your adult children.
Right.
So is this all about making sure no one feels like there's a favorite?
It's more than that, I think. It's like, it's acknowledging that each child, they bring their own experiences.
Right.
And their own perspectives to the table. And that shapes how they see not only you, but also their siblings.
Okay, so like seeing them as individuals, not just as the kids.
Exactly. Each relationship is unique.
Okay, there's this quote that really jumped out at me. It says, if your child believes you love them more than their siblings.
Oh, wow.
It is best to acknowledge their concerns rather than disregard them. And this is from a licensed psychologist, Charles R. Davenport.
Okay, so like really validate their feelings.
I mean, honestly, my first thought would be to just deny it. Like, of course I love you all equally, but why is acknowledging those feelings, even if you think, you know, they're wrong?
Well, I mean, think about it this way. When you deny it outright, you're essentially invalidating their reality.
Okay.
Right? Even if you don't agree, their feelings are real to them.
Makes sense.
So, you know, by acknowledging them, you're saying, hey, I see you. I hear you. What you're feeling matters.
It's like, I may not agree with your conclusion, but I understand why you feel that way.
Exactly.
Okay, so it's less about agreeing with the reason and more about just acknowledging the feeling itself.
Exactly, yeah. It really opens the door to a more honest conversation, which is essential if you want to, you know, resolve any kind of conflict.
It takes the heat out of the situation, I guess.
Yes.
Have you ever been in a situation where you felt unfairly compared to somebody else?
Oh, yeah. I mean, who hasn't?
It doesn't feel good, right?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
And it's easy to see how that could fester, you know, especially between siblings.
Yeah, absolutely. Those feelings of being misunderstood,
right,
or treated unfairly, I mean, they can really, really stick with you.
They can have a huge impact.
The article then suggests something kind of interesting. They say to use personal anecdotes. Like to highlight the importance of sibling relationships.
Okay.
They specifically talk about sharing stories about your own conflicts, even from way back.
Interesting.
But isn't that kind of like airing your dirty laundry?
Well, not necessarily. It's more about, how would you say it? It's like setting an example.
Yeah.
Think about how kids learn.
Mm.
They watch and copy the people around them. Especially their parents.
Oh, yeah, they're little sponges, aren't they?
Exactly. So when you share your own struggles, you know, with conflict, you're showing them that it's normal. And more importantly, that you can work through it.
You're basically saying, hey, it's okay to not be perfect.
Right. We all have disagreements. It's how we handle them that matters.
So you're normalizing the challenge, but also showing that it's okay to, like, seek help and work through it.
Exactly. It helps reduce the stigma around family issues, and it shows them that communication is key.
This next topic, I think a lot of parents will relate to. Money.
Mm-hmm.
The article says that financial transparency is really important to avoid resentment between siblings.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
And this is where things get really interesting, I think.
Yeah, tell me about it, because often it's not even about the actual amount of money itself, but it's the perception, right?
Right.
Like if things are unfair.
Feeling of unfairness.
Exactly. Even a small difference can become a huge issue if it's not handled carefully.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like imagine one sibling gets a loan for $1,000 and the other one gets $995.
Oh, boy.
Suddenly it's World War III.
Mm.
Even though it's just $5.
Exactly. It becomes symbolic, you know? It's like who's valued more? Who's the favorite?
Right, right.
So clear communication is super important in these situations.
Okay.
Even if there are valid reasons for supporting one child more at a certain time, explaining those reasons can make all the difference. And reassuring them that, hey, I'll be there for you when you need me to, you know.
So it's not just about being fair. It's about making sure that everybody feels heard and seen. Like what you said earlier, validation.
Exactly. Validation and respect for each child's individual needs and circumstances.
You know, the article then goes on to talk about something that I think is like a constant struggle for parents.
What's that?
Resisting the urge to control every situation.
Oh, that's a tough one.
It is. It really is. And they specifically say, like, don't jump in and try to fix every argument, especially if it's something that your kids, now adults, can handle themselves.
Well, you know, it's natural to want to protect your
Oh,
kids,
absolutely.
even when they're growing up, right?
For sure.
But constantly stepping in to fix everything, that can actually do more harm than good.
Interesting. How so?
Well, it prevents them from learning how to solve their own problems.
Oh, I see.
It's like we're taking away their opportunity to grow and develop those essential skills, you know, like conflict resolution.
It's kind of like when a parent jumps in to defend their adult child from like a supposedly unfair boss. Sometimes it makes it worse,
Oh,
right?
yeah, absolutely. It can really backfire. It sends the message that you don't trust them to handle things on their own, and that can be really damaging to their confidence, you know, their independence.
Yeah, you're taking away their agency.
Exactly. It's like you're saying you're not capable.
Okay, so even though it's tough, stepping back and letting them figure things out, even if they make mistakes, is ultimately better for them in the long run.
It is. It helps them build resilience, learn from their experiences. You know, those are invaluable life skills.
Has anybody out there ever felt stifled by a parent who's constantly trying to help?
I'm sure a lot of people can relate to
I know I have.
that.
Sometimes that support feels more like control, and it can be so frustrating.
It really can. It's all about finding that balance, you know, between support and autonomy. And that's something we can definitely delve into more later on.
Yeah, for sure. But first, let's take a quick break.
Okay, so we've talked about validating feelings, sharing stories, you know, being upfront about money.
Right.
But what about those times when, like, even when we try our best to be fair, it's like our own biases can kind of creep in.
Oh, absolutely. That's a really important point. The article talks about this too, how even unintentional favoritism can really, make sibling rivalry worse. And it's not always about like big obvious things. Sometimes it's those subtle things that the comparisons,
It's so easy to do, especially when you have more than one kid.
Oh, for sure.
Like you might say one is the smart one and the other is the artistic one,
Right.
but even those labels, even if you mean them as compliments,
Yeah.
can create this sense of competition, like a hierarchy.
You nailed it. What we might think is positive can actually make the other child feel,
Less them.
exactly, less than or not good enough. There's another quote here from Charles R. Davenport that I thought was really powerful. He says, "Comparison is the death knell of sibling harmony. It is not too late to stop comparing your children and start appreciating them for who they are."
Ooh, that's a good one.
It's like so simple, but so profound, you know?
It is. It really highlights that each child is unique and they deserve to be celebrated for that, not measured against their siblings.
It's about shifting our perspective, right? Instead of focusing on who's better, it's about appreciating the differences.
Absolutely. It's like celebrating the diversity of talents and personalities in your family.
And this isn't just for parents, right?
Oh, no, not at all.
I mean, think about how often we compare ourselves to others and feel bad. It's so human.
It really is. We all do it, but it's definitely something we should be mindful of.
So how do we break out of that trap?
Well, one thing that can help is practicing gratitude. Instead of focusing on what you lack or what others have, take the time to appreciate what you do have. You know, celebrate your own strengths.
That makes sense. And it kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier, validating feelings. When we validate our own feelings, we're less likely to look for validation through comparison.
Exactly. It's about building self-esteem from within.
The article ends with something that seems so simple, but is surprisingly hard to do. Listen first, respond second.
Oh, that's so true.
What's so important about that, especially with, adult children who are fighting?
Well, it's about empathy, really trying to understand their perspective their motivations, their frustrations.
Before you jump in with solutions.
Yes, or judgments. Or even worse, I told you so's.
I hate those. We've all been there, right?
Totally. It just makes people defensive and resentful.
It shuts down the conversation completely.
Right. But when you come into it wanting to understand, even if you don't agree, it opens up a space for real dialogue.
Like, I remember this time I was having this really frustrating conversation with a friend.
Yeah.
And I was ready to just fire back, you know? Mm. But then I decided to just...
Pause.
Yeah. And just ask some clarifying questions.
Mm.
And you know what? It totally changed the whole conversation. We actually found some common ground.
Mm.
And we were able to work through it.
That's a perfect example of how powerful active listening can be. It's about setting aside your assumptions and really trying to see things from their side.
A lot of parenting and really just relating to people in general comes down to communication, doesn't it?
Oh, for sure.
And good communication means active listening, empathy, and, you know, being willing to see things from different perspectives.
Absolutely. It's about building those bridges of understanding.
Even when you disagree.
Exactly. And those bridges are essential for strong, healthy relationships, especially within families. So to recap, we've talked about individual relationships, validating feelings, using anecdotes, being transparent, resisting control, checking those biases, and of course, listening first.
Right.
Powerful stuff. These are great tools, not just for sibling rivalry, but for any kind of conflict.
They encourage respect, understanding, and open communication.
The building blocks of any good relationship.
Now, the article ends with a question for its readers. What are your experiences with sibling rivalry?
Hmm, interesting.
It's like an invitation to reflect on our own experiences.
Right, and learn from each other. Because every family is different, you know? There's no one solution that fits all.
It makes you wonder, what makes some sibling relationships work so well?
Yeah.
While others are just constant conflict.
Right, right.
I know we've been focusing on the challenges, but what about the success stories?
Yeah, I love that. What about those?
Like, what role does shared history play?
Uh-huh.
Or personality, maybe even luck.
It's so fascinating to think about because it speaks to, like, the complexity of family dynamics. There are just so many factors, you know? Early childhood, parenting styles, personalities, choices people make.
Right, right.
And these relationships, they evolve as siblings go through different stages of life. They start their own families, face their own unique challenges.
So no magic formula.
I wish. But just because there's no easy answer doesn't mean we can't learn, both from the successes and the struggles.
Okay.
By understanding those underlying psychological principles, recognizing our own biases, you know, and just being open to empathy and listening.
Yeah.
We can create an environment where our families can thrive.
It's not about forcing siblings to be best friends.
No, definitely not.
It's about giving them the tools to manage their own relationships, even when they're messy.
Exactly. And sometimes the best thing we can do is just stop, be there, listen, offer support, remind them they're not alone.
Well, this deep dive has certainly given me a lot to think about. We've talked about strategies, sure.
Yeah.
But maybe even more importantly, we've been reminded about how powerful empathy and communication are.
Couldn't agree more.
And that's not just for families, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's for colleagues, friends, even strangers. These principles can help us connect with anyone. So to wrap things up, I want to encourage everyone listening to think about their own experiences.
Yeah.
What are your challenges? What are your triumphs? Good questions.
And what can you do, starting today, to build more understanding and compassion in your own family?
It's a journey.
It is. Understanding our families and ourselves is a lifelong process.
It really is.
And even though there may not be any easy answers, the journey itself is pretty amazing. It makes you think, what makes some siblings like best friends?
Right.
And others are always at each other's throats.
That's a great question.
I know we've been focusing on the struggles.
Uh-huh.
But what about those families where the siblings are super close?
Yeah, those are the ones I want to study.
Like, is it just shared history?
Maybe.
Personality? Or is it just, you know, luck of the draw?
Could be a bit of everything. I mean, it really shows you how complex families are. So many factors, you know, early childhood, how they were raised, individual personalities, choices they make in life. And those relationships, they change over time.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Siblings go through different stages. They start their own families. They have their own problems to deal with. Right. So there's no magic formula for sibling harmony.
If only. But, you know, even though there's no easy answer, it doesn't mean we can't learn something from both the good and the bad.
What do you mean?
Well, If we understand those basic psychology principles and we recognize our own biases and we really try to be empathetic and listen to each other, then we can, you know, create a better environment for our families.
So it's not about making siblings be best friends.
No, not at all.
It's about giving them the tools to figure out their own relationships.
Yeah.
Even if those relationships are messy sometimes.
Exactly. And I think sometimes the best thing we can do is just be there for them. You know, listen to them, support them, remind them that they're not alone.
This deep dive has given me so much to think about. I mean, yeah, we've talked about strategies, but I think more importantly, it's reminded me about how important empathy and communication are.
Couldn't agree more. That's the foundation.
And that's not just for families.
No way. It's for everybody.
Colleagues, friends, even strangers.
Those principles help us connect with anyone.
So as we wrap up, I want to encourage everybody listening to think about their own experiences with siblings, I mean.
Yeah.
What are some challenges you've faced? What are some of the good times?
Yeah, think about that.
And what can you do today to build more understanding in your own family?
Small steps.
It's a journey, right?
It is. It really is.
Understanding our families and even ourselves, it's a lifelong process.
So true.
And even though there aren't always easy answers, the journey itself is pretty amazing.